Instagram has been ranked the very worst social network when it comes to the mental health of young people. When it comes to social media sites, its impact on mental health is the worst. That's according to a survey of almost 1,500 youngsters aged 14 to 24 in the Status of Mind survey. They found that the photo and video sharing app negatively impacted on people's body image, on their ability to sleep, and their fears of missing out and not being in the gang. However, they also thought it was positive in terms of self-expression and self-identity, whatever the hell they are. Let's talk to Dr. Amanda Gummer about this. He's a child psychologist. Thank you for joining us, Amanda.
You're welcome.
I would have thought it was blatantly obvious that any social media sharing site was basically focused entirely on people making taking photos of themselves, which is what it appears to be whenever I've seen people's Instagram accounts, that would definitely be bad for the mental health for young people.
I can see where you're coming from. I don't think it necessarily has to be bad because it's all about where it's coming from within the child. What we need to do from a much earlier age, now that this is all sort of available for teenagers, is to teach children how to develop their self-esteem, how to be more media literate so that they understand that somebody's digital profile is very different from their real life, and to not take it quite so sort of to heart. And I think that's the reason that it can be so damaging for children, is because people see the photoshopped, you know, posed images, and it's like Facebook does, you know, as there's a lot of parents who have the same thing with Facebook, where everybody else's life seems perfect and you're there with, you know, spots or children throwing up or whatever, and you're like, why isn't my life like that?
Because your life is real.
Yeah, exactly. And I think teaching children from a very young age that a digital profile or a digital life is very different from real life, and that you need to be able to separate them and not compare the two, is one of the key things that we can do for children in protecting them against
it. And absolutely crucial in that. And again, that's the same lesson needs to be given to a lot of these kids' parents as well, if you ask me, who sit on Facebook and showing these images. I'll share, like, if I'm away for a weekend, I was away for Sorrento for a weekend, it's just this beautiful little restaurant, this amazing view over the sea and over his village. It just was stunning. And I, you know, just tweet out a photo going, you know, this is working out well, what a lovely day. But most of the time, I have to say, I'm a Twitter fanatic. And one of the things about Twitter is mostly people complaining and moaning and being angry about it. It's much less fun. It's basically, look at the stupid thing I've done this morning, sort of, rather than, hey, look at me, aren't I fab? And in fact, that would be taken as, like, what are you doing on Twitter? You're on the wrong format. But this is it. For me, so much of it, when you look at these issues, like with Instagram affecting people's lives or Facebook, it's the amount of time that people spend on it. I've been on trains and buses, young people, literally, they're sitting there together, and instead of talking to each other, they're sitting there taking photos of themselves and posting them online. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, and it's just the way the technology works today, and encouraging children, making sure that they have a healthy, balanced diet, play diet, and are playing outside with real people and not spending all their time on the tech. You know, all of that is common sense. I mean, it's not actually that difficult from the messages we had when we were kids. You know, you can't sit in front of the telly for hours. You'll get square eyes. All of those things. All the new technologies have their kind of the curve of development, where they get the new and they're exciting, and then they get overused, and then they get sort of, then it becomes part of normal life and most people find a balance. And at the moment we're in that kind of overuse phase, and I think that people do need to sort of make sure that their children are given those tools to develop healthily and holistically, so they're not just learning to communicate digitally, they're learning to communicate, you know, face to face, and develop those relationships that will prevent them from, or protect them from mental health issues later on.
But this is the key thing, isn't it? That face-to-face contact. Because I often think the issue is not so much someone is on their social media, whichever it is, Instagram, Facebook, or whatever the kids are doing these days. They're certainly not doing the Facebook thing. That's for old mums. But it's not that they're on it. It's the amount of time they spend on it and what they're not doing instead. So a kid who is sitting there for hours and hours on end sending silly pouts, this weird pouty thing that the girls do, and lots... And the amount of girls I reprimand online who send me messages, and most of their their bio picture is their breasts. It's like, sweetheart, put your face on. I don't want to see your boobs. As nice as they are not your personality or your identity. And it's extraordinary. And you know, and young men as well, feeling they have to look a certain way as well. And it does seem to me it's what they're not doing. They're not spending time. If you're sitting there for 6 hours in the evening on Instagram, you are not talking to your friends. You're not talking to your family. You're not interacting in real life. And that is, to me, I think part of the mental health issue is not what you're doing online. It's the isolation that you're putting yourself into when you do that.
Absolutely. And it's about that balance, isn't it? You know, half an hour on Instagram, catching up with some friends, you know. I know social media has been amazingly good at keeping people, you know, in touch with people they don't see as often. It can be, there's an awful lot of positives, but like you say, it's what they do online.
Yeah.
And for me, there's three questions I ask. Is it active or passive? So is it something that you're sitting there with a screen doing nothing? And if you are, then you know, you need to limit it. Is it solitary or is it social? If it's something that you're doing where you've got other friends in the room and you're all on the Wii, or you know, you're all joining in on a kind of group chat, and it's a communicate face to face communication via, you know, FaceTime or something like that, fine. That's just, you know, that's like talking to them. It's not quite as good as being face to face, but it's better than just sort of taking a photo and liking it. And then the third one, is it educational or is it mindless?
Yeah.
And if parents use those three questions to look at what their kids are doing online, and if it is educational, if it is social, and if it is active, then actually that's just the way the world's going, and yeah, it's good, fun activities. If it's mindless and sedentary and solitary, then get them off it. You know, let them have 10 minutes after when they're shattered and they've come home from school and they just need to veg out. But that's it. It should be the sweets and the chocolate of the play diet.
Isn't it? The sweets and the chocolate is now the diet as opposed to the treats that it probably was. And I mean, yeah, but this is the thing, isn't it? And none of this actually is a replacement for you know, being outside, fresh air, physical activity, as a physically and you know, facially, vocally interacting with other human beings who are three-dimensional.
Yeah, absolutely. And we position that as the fruit and vegetables of the play diet, because that's the stuff it's very difficult to get too much of. So if your children are outside playing with their friends, don't get them to come in and sit down and be quiet. Let them go. Let them have that freedom.
But you know what? The other thing is, you know, they might be outside with their friends, but take the phones off them. There's no need to have your phone with you when you're outside. I'm amazed the amount of times I see young people hanging around together and they're all sitting there with their head down in their phone. And it breaks my heart. It really does. Because we're all these parents that walk around going, oh, isn't it awful? Well, it's your kid that's doing it, and you're in charge of your kid, last time I looked. Amanda, come out with loads of sensible advice there in terms of your active, passive, solitary, mindless, really worth thinking about there. Thank you very much. We're discussing, of course, Instagram, voted the worst social media site when it comes to the impact on the mental health of young people. Again, I would have